listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
That you are so good. Father in heaven, we just thank you that you not only do good, but you are good. And that we can rest assured that your goodness and your favor and your love and your kindness is poured out towards us. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we rest in that place. And Father, I pray that for each and every person here in this building and everybody online, Lord, that each and every person would just sense the goodness that you are and the goodness of you that flows towards each one of us. And we just really are truly grateful for being able to come into your presence to worship together and draw close to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, team. That was fantastic. I am going to release the youth. So you are going with Paul. We're trying also to have a creche running each week. So if you've got children that are creche age, they'll have a creche running for them. That'd be good. So they're going to have lots of fun out there with Paul. Jacob, you're going out to give him a hand, which is awesome. Good man. That's brilliant. So great to be in church together. Amen. One amen. I hope the rest of you are a bit more enthusiastic than just one. Great to be in church together, isn't it? Yeah, come on. It's good to be together and to worship. It's the masks. We'll blame the masks. Those masks are responsible for a lot of things. And one of them is I have no idea whether you're smiling, sleeping, enjoying what I'm saying, or cross at me for what you're saying. I got no idea. So I'm just assuming there's a big smile under your mask. And I'll just keep going. No, but it's great to be able to come together. Last week we talked about just the being Jesus-centered and Jesus at the center of our community and like a Christ-centered community. And I trust as those of you have gathered in your home groups and connect groups and different places, the youth the other night, that you've just sensed that Christ is in this, and Christ is there as we draw together, and we know that he promises that. So today I'm continuing on with the life-transforming message of Jesus. The message of Jesus is powerful to change. We're not just gathering together around to have social activity, and we're not just gathering together to have fun together and sing together and do these sorts of things, but we are gathering together because Jesus and the message that we gather around is a message that transforms and changes lives. So I'd say following Jesus really is equals to transformation. And if you're not seeing much or seeing transformation take place, so we say someone, I'm a follower of Jesus, but there hasn't been a transformation in their life, I would question how closely or have they really following Jesus? But it's an amazing message. The message of Christ and him coming to bring transformation. And all around the world, there's been people who have been touched and transformed by the message of Jesus Christ, that the hope that there is in Jesus Christ and the power that he brings into our life and the confidence that he brings to us and of hope of being with him and him being in us. So I'm going to ask Tracy to come, and she's going to share a little bit of her life transformation. That this powerful message of how Christ has transformed her life. And I know I could get all of you up here and you could all share something and say something about how Christ has transformed you. So Tracy's promised to keep it down under 50 minutes. I'm going to just share for a few minutes on just how Christ has transformed her life. And it'd be great after the service if we could, as you go out and have a coffee and one of those really healthy donuts that's out there. I assure you that they're the healthy ones out the back. But after the service, if we could all just share a little bit of the how Christ has transformed us, because it's such an important part of actually what we're about, to see life transformation, to see Christ working in us as believers, but also those who don't know Christ, that they come to him and their lives are changed forever. So Tracy, you want to tell us a bit of your story?
Okay, here it goes. So I came to the Lord when I was really little. So throughout the years, I've had so many people sow seeds into my life. I work in a Christian college and in the ELC. And now it's my turn to sow seeds into people's lives. I get to meet the parents, and you think, yes, Christian college, they're all Christians. No, they're not. So we have a percentage, 80% Christian, 20% non-Christian. So I get the chance to minister to the families that come through that are struggling, and just get to know them. And then they get to know me and go, wow, why is she different? Why, you know, why is she the way she is? And also, I am also part of the ELC, and we're teaching the kids about Jesus. So we're sowing seeds into their lives, even though their parents aren't. And those children are taking those seeds back home and sharing it with their families. It's just amazing how much one little seed can make people grow. There was one family that I've got to know really well, straight up. She swore, she was like, nah, not Christian, not nah. She fell sick. She ended up in intensive care. And so as a community ELC, we rabbit around everybody and said, we're going to send a gift pack for the kids, for the family. Dad didn't want any help, had nanny and all that with them to help. I found out that they had actually gone home and he was doing it all alone. So unbeknownst to him, I got a care package all together. I was able to go to her house and I said, this is from our ELC. We are thinking about you. We are praying for you. If there's anything, my door is always open. She visits me every day, in the morning and night. And I tell her every day that I'm praying for her. And she says, thank you. So I'm just waiting for that breakthrough to invite her to church. So, yeah, that's it. And I cried. Ah!
Thank you, Tracy. Yeah, you can be done. That's good. Yeah, a round of applause. Excuse me for a sec. I hope I put my glasses in. I'm grabbing my glasses. Be encouraged by that. A seed that was sown. Tracy says that people sowed seeds in her life that's transferred her. Now she's being able to sow those seeds into somebody else's life, all those kids that she is with day after day and the parents as well. This transforming message of Jesus Christ, that life is about transforming. My goodness, there's been times in my life and I would ask, who am I? I'd go, my goodness, what is going on in my life? And let me share about a time when I was at high school, because forming our identity and working out who we are in Christ and this message of Jesus can be complicated sometimes. In some ways it's so simple, but there's times where it can be so complicated. And for me, I went to a point and got to a point of just, who am I? What am I? Who am I? What's going on here? Because I was really having an identity crisis, because I was living in all these multiple different worlds. And I'd just moved from Armada to Grange and ended up at Seton High School. And I was in grade 8, so I was probably 12 years of age. Armada had a smaller population than the whole of Seton High School. And I'd grown up in the bush, in a cross-cultural setting, and I didn't understand Australian culture, white Australian culture, I should say. I'd grown up in a different place. So then came to Adelaide, and I had no idea. So I was trying to work out, where do I fit? And my parents took no responsibility for trying to make me actually look socially acceptable and to actually dress fashionably. That was way off their radar. They didn't care about that. So they sent me to school looking hideous to all the girls, apparently. So the girls wanted to have nothing to do with me. So I wasn't cool enough to fit in. So I didn't fit with the cool kids. I was a little bit sporty, but not really sporty enough. I was kind of not the last person picked on the sports team when we picked teams for football, but I was in the bottom few, and you kind of always knew you were, it was either them or them, or whether I'd get last or not. So I wasn't sporty, so I wasn't one of the sporty kids, so I didn't fit with that group. As I've shared, I think I'm dyslexic, so I didn't fit with the smart kids, so I just didn't quite fit there. Was smart enough, but not quite smart enough to be part of the smart kid. So I kind of then got left with the leftovers. So the leftovers band together. So Rod, you might appreciate these days, but I used to wear the ripples. You remember the ripples, the black ripples, and the grey tight skin tight pants. Grey pants was the school uniform. Danny's laughing because he remembers. And the flannelette shirt was my standard dress. My parents had no idea that the flannelette shirt meant that I was associating with the drug users and the drug addicts, although the tough kids, they didn't understand that. They just thought they were cheap and great, so they bought them for me whenever I wanted them. So at school, I'm in that group where it's tough. You're fighting. There's this aggression just to stay accepted and part of it so you're not on the outer. That was Monday morning till Friday afternoon. Friday afternoon, I'm at youth group, and it's a different dress. All day Saturday, Sunday, I'm there worshiping. Then Monday morning, I put the dress back on. I realized I was going through this identity crisis. I didn't know where I was fitting. And we say, well, it's young people who have identity problems or identity issues, and they're trying to work out their identity. But this is not just a young person's thing. The message of Jesus speaks to all of us about our identity and who we are. Let me track forward to another point when I went, oh my goodness, who am I? I was in Papua New Guinea. We'd been there for a number of years, and I'd been running the Bible College. And at Bethel Center in Papua New Guinea, the Bible College position has a lot of influence because the Bible College students run all the church programs. So anyone who wants to run a church program has to come and see you to get the students. So you've got a fair bit of influence and power, authority, and just position and stuff like that. And that position, I gave it up freely and willingly and was the right decision to do it. But a couple of months later, I'm having these things going on inside of me. And I'd spent many lectures teaching about my identity in Christ and who I am and the transforming power of Jesus and that position doesn't define who you are. But I just found that there was these little things going on inside of me, these thoughts going on inside of me that didn't line up with what I'd taught. I'm thinking, who am I? My goodness, this is not what I expected of me. There was a shaking that took place, and I had to actually process. Hang on a second, what? So a little bit of my identity was linked to my position and my title and the responsibility I had. And when that was removed, there was a shaking that took place. During COVID, many people throughout society have gone through a shaking and an adjusting and a changing of living busy lives, and much of that's been taken away, and there's all sorts of things going on. But our bedrock thing is that our identity is in Christ. And that is the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus is that we're actually taken from being over here doing our own thing, and now we are placed in Him. Let's read Galatians 3, verse 28 and 29. It says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, nor is there male nor female, for you are all one in Christ, Jesus. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Wow. So he's really saying all those things that we get our identity from, compared to what Christ has done for us, those things pale into insignificance. Your identity and your who you are actually comes from the oneness that you have inside of Jesus Christ and belonging to Him. That's a radical message because it goes against some of our society. And I know God puts us in cultures, He puts us in families, He puts us in places, and we celebrate the parts of that are Christ uplifting and the good parts of culture that we are in. And I've got culture and I think a certain way because of my family and how I was brought up, and there's all goodness and good parts of that. But He's saying, wow, you're my child, you belong to me, and I've plucked you out of an old way and put you into a new way where you belong to me, that you're my child, that you're an heir of God. Can you believe that? You're a child of God. That's a transforming message. That's amazing, really. And I know we say it all the time, but have we allowed that to sit in that place and say, God, the promises. Now, I'm an heir of Abraham, so the promises that you gave to Abraham, now you've given to me. What belonged to him now belongs to me. This word to belong or to be in union with Christ, it's the predominant image of what it is to be a believer in the New Testament. This idea that you're in union, that you've been joined to Jesus, and that you belong to him, and that you're in Christ. Quite often we hear the preachers that preach about Christ in us, and there's this power in us because Christ is in us, and that's all true. But actually the bigger picture that comes through the New Testament is that we're actually in Christ, and that we're joined to him, and we belong to him, and we're in union with him. You might want to use the word union, or belong, or planted, or connected to. It's a pretty dominant thought through the New Testament, the idea that you have been joined to Jesus Christ. Many years ago, a good friend of mine, and I'm not sure if I've told you this story before or not, but his name is Pastor Guaibo. And he was in India with his wife, and they're in different cities. And his wife got basically had a seizure and was critically ill. So she was rushed to the hospital and was having these seizures. She wasn't with him. And it was happening at night, so he wanted to get a transport to this other city. There was no way to go other than this motorbike that one of our young pastors had that didn't have enough petrol, and they couldn't get enough petrol to drive the distance. But he said to him, let's just hop on the bike and go and see how far we go. And they actually drove the whole way. That was a supernatural provision because there was not enough fuel to get the distance. But they arrived at the hospital, and Upper is there. That's Pastor Guaibo's wife, and she's having seizures, and she's just struggling with that. And in Papua New Guinea, if you're in the hospital, you have a guardian, so a family member stays with you all the time. But in India, that doesn't happen. It's a bit more like here, or this particular hospital she was in, and she couldn't. Guaibo couldn't stay there with her overnight, so he had to go out and try and find some accommodation for that night. So he left her in the hospital, realizing that this hospital, no one speaks English, and Guaibo speaks no Hindi. Yeah, so he leaves his wife there to go and find somewhere to stay that night, and he finds some accommodation, and then comes back. But while he's been out, Upa had another seizure, so the nurses took her hands and tied them to the bed and tied her feet to the bed so she wouldn't pull out the oxygen and things that were put upon her. And as Guaibo walks into the room, he looks and sees his wife in this tied to the bed. And he says that he could see the expressions on the nurses' faces. They couldn't speak to him. They couldn't communicate with him. But he could see their expression and the fear and the concern that they had. And he says, well, I don't know whether they were concerned because they'd tied up my wife and how I was going to respond, whether I would respond with anger at them or aggression towards them, or whether I would just turn around and walk out and never come back. Because they've seen that happen as well, that a husband sees a wife or someone who their loved one, they're critically ill, and the cost of that, they can't afford it, so they just leave and don't come back. But he says he walked in. I wish I was there to see this, but he walks in and actually unties her arm and ties it to his arm and says, we're joined together forever. That she belongs to me. We're joined together. The commitment I made to her, we've been joined together forever, and I'm not going anywhere. They didn't understand a word that he said, but they definitely got the actions. You know, we've been joined to Christ, and Christ has chosen to join himself to you and to me. And he's not going anywhere. And in the midst of our darkest hours, in the midst of our times of trouble, Christ is saying, I'm joined to you. You belong to me. You've been linked to me. And I've made that commitment to you. So So that is the message that we have, that we belong to Christ, that he's joined himself to us, humanity, human beings, with all our frailties and all our weakness. We get to be joined to Jesus Christ and all his goodness and power and authority and no sin, but he chooses to join us to himself. That's a phenomenal message. That's a life-transforming message when we allow that to penetrate deep into our hearts. The message goes on, or let me jump down a bit. It talks that union, that idea of us being in Christ and being a follower of Christ and being in Christ. If you look through the New Testament, it happens, the idea of being in Christ or joined to Christ, union with Christ, 216 times throughout the New Testament. The Apostle Paul makes that reference. Sorry, the Apostle Paul uses it 216 times. The Apostle John, 26 times. If you just get your NIV Bible app and do a little Google search, in Christ, you'll get 88 hits. If you do in Jesus, you'll get 10 hits. In him, another 75 hits. This idea that you are in Christ and implanted into him is the great message of the scriptures for us. It's liberating. It deals with our identity. That when we're trying to find our identity, no, it says, you get your identity from me because you are inside of me. We get a brand new identity. If you read the book of Ephesians, just in the first chapter, in Christ is 13 times. In him, 9 times. Let me just pull out a few things. I think you'll get it up there about from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, there's just this new identity that we get in Christ. That we're not stuck with an old identity, we get this new identity. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's verse 3. Verse 4, we are holy and without fault. Some of you look in the mirror and say, that's impossible. I know all my faults. I know all my thought patterns. But in Christ, he says, you are holy and without fault. I need to hear that. Just talk to Sandra. She'll tell you, I need to hear that. She's always telling me, get your act together on this. 5 and 6, we're adopted as God's children. So that we are adopted, we're brought into the family of God. That's amazing. That God, our Father in heaven, would want us to be part of his family. That he actually joined us in with a great big smile. Verse 7, our sins are taken away and we are forgiven. You know, you are completely forgiven. All of you. All of us. That the forgiveness of Christ is there and available for all of us. That's your new identity. We don't walk around in judgment and condemnation, but Christ has forgiven us. And so often we struggle with guilt and shame because of the things that we did, the things that we looked at, the stuff that's going on in our life, the confusion that's there, the doubts that are there. But Christ says, no. You got a brand new identity. You are forgiven. 10 and 11 says, you were brought under Christ's authority. So now we're under his authority. We're not under the authority of the devil and the works of the enemy. We're under the authority of Christ. Verse 13, we are marked as belonging to God by his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, his Holy Spirit marks you and seals you. And that verse 13 as well, that the Holy Spirit is a guarantee that he gives, that every one of his promises are there for us. David, every promise in the scripture is there for you. Why? Because his Holy Spirit is there. He's made those promises for you, for each one of you. There's a promise. Sorry, David, I just picked you out. But it's true for all of us. Because as soon as I pointed at you, all of the others went down and were worried that I was going to point at them as well. But it is true. All the promises of God are guaranteed to you by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Not just for David, especially for David, but for all of us. How amazing is that? That Jesus saying, I'm joined to you. In John 15, Jesus said these words. He says, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. And then verse 4, if you jump down, it says, remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit until you remain remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So often we talk about, we focus on the apart from me, you can do nothing bit. And that's where the focus goes. But I'd like to get the focus to, I am the vine and you are the branches. That we're in Christ, that we're connected to him, and he chooses to join himself to us and provide life for us and the promises for us. Those were the words of Jesus. He says, they remain in me. That word remain means to abide, to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, to stand. But abiding, remaining. I won't sing the song, but we used, back in the, I don't know if it's the 80s, we used to sing Abide in Me, Sovereign Lord. And we, I don't know how many times I sang that. Going to a Pentecostal church, we sang it over and over and over and over again. But that sense of remaining in Christ and him remaining in us. So the message of Jesus is a message that is a message of transformation, that there is change. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, I think it might say 1 Corinthians up there, but it's meant to be 2 Corinthians, that there is, so therefore if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone and the new is here. What a promise. Paul's saying that there's this promise that if you're in Christ, all that old stuff is gone and there's a new life for us, a new identity for us, a new creation life that is ours. You know, identity is powerful. And this is what Jesus is dealing with and Paul is dealing with. When you get your identity right, and that's, you got that right, things start to work out right for us. Because our identity determines our actions. Where you identify, how you identify determines the way you act. When we identify with a sporting team, none of you probably follow the State of Origin, the New South Wales, Queensland competition, but I'm a very much a one-eyed Blues supporter living in the middle of Queensland. So it was interesting times, but there were a couple of years ago that there was just this great match and the Blues, New South Wales were winning and they were doing so well and I was so happy and just say, aren't we doing so well? And my boys said, we don't want to watch with you anymore. We're going to our friend's place to watch because they're all Maroon supporters. And then I'm thinking, aren't we doing so well? And then the Maroon started to come back and then I wasn't so happy. I was getting cross, I was getting cranky because I was identifying, I'm a Blues supporter, I'm Blues with them. But when they started to do so well, I just started to say, well, nah, it's them. The coach, let's blame the coach. Other than the Australian cricket team, you only sack your coach if you're losing. In Australia, we've got rid of our coach even though they were winning, so it doesn't make sense. But when in that game of rugby, the came down to the last couple of minutes and the Blues ended up being behind, but they got the ball and they were running down the line and I'm up screaming and shouting and saying, yes, yes, come on, come on. He got the try and we won. And so I'm jumping and shouting and screaming. The rest of Queensland is quiet and very disappointed the next day. But I was full of joy and happiness for the week. But the state of Queensland was upset. But I think that happens here with the Crows. If the Crows lose, all the Crows supporters are cranky for a couple of days. Port Adelaide supporters, we're always happy because we're winning a lot, aren't we? Maybe, maybe not, who knows? I'm definitely a Port supporter. But we put on the colours and our mood and our attitude, if they win, we say we won. If they lose, we say they lost. And the coach, and we blame the players. But that power to identify and link in has an impact. Let me tell you about another pastor friend of mine. He's from a village in Papua New Guinea on the coast, just south of Port Moresby, called Hula. And the story of the Hula people, about 200 years ago, probably 150, 200 years ago, they came to that part of the land because where they were, they didn't have enough land for their farms and their people. So basically they came and took that part of Papua New Guinea by force. So they drove all the people who were living there out and up into the mountains and further down the coast, and they took the land because they were a warrior people. They were a powerful people. They were a fighting people. So these other villagers couldn't fight them off, so they moved out, and so they took the land. 200 years later, one of those men is one of our pastors at our church in Papua New Guinea, and he thinks and acts like a warrior. We are a powerful people, because all of his life he's been told, you are a warrior, you are powerful, you took the land from those people, so you're powerful. And that story has been passed on to his kids. So you see the way his kids act. They just walk around with, I am strong, I am powerful, because that is my identity. That's the story that they've told. That's the story that they've believed all their life. That boy did nothing to win that victory years ago. That boy didn't fight. He didn't do anything, but he still thinks like that because that's the identity that's been passed on to him. How we identify and where we identify is so important, and it impacts our actions. But Jesus Christ comes and says, I've given you a new identity. Jesus Christ comes and says, I've placed you inside of me, and I want you to get your identity from me. Be drawn to me. Let me draw a little picture for you. I'll bring it over so the guys on the screen can grab it as well. This is my very basic drawing. I've even got some colour this time. This is good. So this is Jesus, and we're going to put a little halo on Jesus. So it's the Catholic Jesus, because we know that when you have all the Catholic pictures of Jesus, Jesus has got the glory above him. So it's a Catholic Jesus. So this is our Jesus. And, you know, the scriptures really say that through the work of the Holy Spirit, this is what Ephesians 1 verse 13 and 14 really say, is that when we're born again, that Christ puts us in here and we're linked with Jesus. We're drawn into him, so that what is his identity and what is Christ's now becomes ours. What an amazing message, that we're actually not having to forge our own way. That Christ says, yeah, this is your identity. Let's read 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. It said, it's because of him that you are in Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So we are included into Christ's righteousness. When we're in Christ, his righteousness becomes our righteousness. What a promise. That I don't have to work anymore to get right with God. That through Jesus Christ, I am made right with God. That gives me absolute freedom into his presence. That his holiness and purity becomes my holiness and purity. I'm so grateful for that. His redemption becomes my redemption. The price he paid, I actually get the benefit from. And if we go on with that, we can look at that his peace becomes my peace. That his victory becomes my victory. His authority becomes my authority. Not because of what I've done, but because he's placed me inside him. Just like I cheered and shouted when my rugby team won, because I identified and I'm joined to them, I'm linked, yeah, that's it. Same with Christ, that when we're in him, what belongs to him now belongs to you and I. So his victory now becomes our victory. It's an amazing message, absolutely transformative message. So how does this change take place? Because you might say to me, well, I don't feel like I've got the victory that Christ has. I don't feel like that this is actually taking place in me. Well, you might look around and maybe it's been your own experience, or you look at others and say, well, some people have been on this journey for a long time and they're still not really moving ahead, but other people have come to Christ and there's all this transformation and change that's taken place in their life. I think the change and the transformed life of being in Christ takes the power of Jesus Christ at work in us, and also the teaching of Jesus Christ and the application of his power and the application of his teaching to our hearts. Such as, I want this to change me, that we would apply the wisdom of God and the promises of God, and we'll actually apply them to our life and let them bring about change. But so often we have hurts, blockages that stop us from moving down this new way of thinking. So often we can be caught up in things that have hold us back from taking on this new way of thinking, because it's a totally new way of thinking. It's not a humanistic way of thinking. It's a radical new paradigm. Say, I'm not going to think like that anymore. I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm going to think differently because Christ is actually defined that I am different. I'm not the same anymore. The old has gone and the new has come, and I'm in Christ, and I'm going to accept that. But these blockages come along from trauma, hurts, pains, bitterness, selfishness. There's things that actually can stop us, old thought patterns that stop us from moving down that path. But this is where we need to take our thinking and say, well, I'm going to line it up with what the Word of God says. I'm going to let go of some of those hurts. I'm going to allow the teaching and the wisdom of God to come in, to renew my mind, to refresh my mind, to continually remind myself that this is where actually I live here. I dwell and remain in Christ. I'm in Christ. That's where I belong. Even when my thinking is not lining up, I'm going to stop it and bring it back in here. Paul's call to be transformed by the renewing of our minds in Romans 12 is part of the message, is that it does. It has power. It is transformative. That to follow Christ is to be transformed and changed. We might jump to the last slide. Following Jesus equals transformation. Have you allowed him to transform you? The process might be a bit painful, but it's worth it. That there is pain. There's things that we've got to look at. It's like, well, that thought is not actually Christ's thought. That way of thinking is not Christ's way of thinking. I'm going to have to go and say sorry. I'm going to have to forgive some people. There's some things here that are not good, healthy for me or my family, and I want to see transformation and change. I encourage you, allow Jesus Christ through his power and the teaching of his word and applying that to our hearts and our thinking to bring transformation to our life. It's an amazing message. It's an amazing promise. A number of years ago, I was in a place where I was quite stressed and pressured, and I walked into one of our other staff's office. She was a missionary as well. We were talking, and then she said, "Doesn't the Bible say you have the peace of God?" Because I just offloaded all my stress. So needless to say, I said thanks and walked out the door. But I went home because that hit me. And I said, it does. Actually, the Bible teaches me that Christ's peace is now my peace. And he says, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. So why am I living in this place of just pressure and going on like this and allowing that to determine my world and not actually allowing the fact that I'm in Christ and the peace that is mine already to actually flow out of that? So I actually had to do a mental shift. And it didn't happen just like that. It took me some time. I've got peace. And there's joy and there's goodness and kindness. There's patience. There's all these things that are Christ's that now become ours. But it's actually allowing that to then bear fruit in our life through the power of Christ and the teaching and the wisdom of Christ that we allow to penetrate our lives. Let's pray together. Jesus, I just thank you for this amazing message that you said to remain in you and that we are connected to you and that connection to you is a life source for transformation. That connection to you is the power that we need to change when we can't do it in our own strength. But Lord, I also know that you ask us to line our thinking up with your teaching, that your thoughts are there and your word is there and your wisdom is there, and you don't want us to remain as a child and childish, but you ask us to mature up and to grow into your teaching and to grow into the truths of the scripture and to take hold of into those things that are ours in Christ. And Father, I just pray that each one of us by revelation would understand that the work's being done, these things are ours and available to us. And Lord, those blockages that might be in the way, from trauma, from bitterness, from hurt, from sorrow, from just life's experiences, from things that have happened that would say, yeah, I've allowed, or even just habits, bad habits that we've allowed into our life that don't line up with what you would have us be and do. Lord, I pray that you would break the power of those by the work of your Holy Spirit, because we're only in Christ by the work of your Holy Spirit placing us there. So, Father, I just pray for each and every one of us that your Holy Spirit would work powerfully, deeply within each one of us, reminding us, calling us to the identity that you have given us. I am a child of God. We are all children of God, not based on us, but based on the fact that you have placed us in there. And Lord, I pray that we would get this by revelation, that we would receive it by revelation, that we would move beyond the old and move into the new that has come, that the old has gone and the new has come. And I pray that that would be a living reality for each one of us. Amen. I'm going to ask Rod to lead us in a song, just as we seal this time together. So Jesus, I encourage you, as we sing, maybe you guys can stay seated and these guys will lead us in a song. But as you reflect on your life and you look, Jesus, I want to be transformed. This message of, it's a different message. It's not the same old. Love for us just to sing this together. And then once we've sung, we'll close the meeting. But then if you did want someone to pray with you, I'd love you just to come sit down the front and our team and pastors will pray with you. But we won't make that part of the service as such. We'll just bring to a close, release you to go have a coffee, and then we'll pray for people if you'd like prayer. But let's just reflect for a moment and let the Spirit of God speak deep to your heart, because he is a deposit guaranteeing the promises that are yours in Christ.